Discussion with Ajahn Suchin on 23rd October in the garden of the Hotel Lotus Nikko at Shravasti. Participants include Nina, Azita, Sarah, Christine, John, Jill and O.
Question, because I think that when it's the first sermon,
right,
it covers everything.
Everything. Yeah. It's very nice.
But it depends on who reads it or who hears it, because for Anyagon Thanyasi, he could become enlightened instantly. So it depends on how much one has accumulated for understanding reality at this moment, and also developing the understanding to the degree that it can become detached instantly from taking it for I. Because it's not I, as we know, but it's there all the time when Panya hasn't reached that degree yet.
But how? It's
exactly the same.
How can you detach instantly?
It seems unbelievable at all to really penetrate through reality, even it's so common. So we can think that this is the result of the Buddha's perfections that he had accumulated for quite a long time, just to penetrate realities and to attain the Four Noble Truths so that he could become enlightened. Because it's so natural, it's so difficult, how could he, see? Without the parami, the perfections is impossible. So we can see the people in Buddha's time, the Savatthi people, they had accumulated lots of understanding, so that many people in the old days had become enlightened by his teachings. Exactly the same as what we heard from Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and other suttas. Different levels of understanding, so he took 45 years to teach, yeah.
We're talking about the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta and the Buddhist level of understanding. And it reminds me of a discussion we had the other day about how the Buddha, with so much accumulated understanding, did not become enlightened prior to his last lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Satipanna. Not a Satipanna. Even before his last. I think it all happened straight one after the other, didn't it? When he became enlightened, he went through all four Satipanna.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. There and then.
No exception.
Even stages of insight.
Yeah.
Mm.
But with all the accumulated understanding he had from before his enlightenment, the question was why he didn't become enlightened earlier than...
Because it's not right time yet. Like now, it's not right time to become enlightened if one hasn't accumulated enough panya.
But the Buddha had accumulated enough panya for enlightenment, but not,
right there.
But not for becoming Buddha.
No. Not before that time.
Not before that time.
So it's our lack of perfections.
I think that instead of thinking too much about perfection, what about wholesome deeds, wholesome thoughts and wholesome words, because it's so daily.
Yeah.
And altogether become the perfection.
Yeah.
Otherwise sometimes think that I have to do it, because otherwise I won't have it. But actually it's wholesome deeds, wholesome speech in daily life, without intention to wish or to hope for anything.
No.
Otherwise it hinders instantly, because lopa always hinders.
You see the usefulness of wholesome deeds, wholesome speech, that helps us when we listen and we consider.
Yeah. And not self, because it becomes one's nature.
Yeah, that is the most difficult thing, because there's always the self.
Because lopa is there.
Yeah.
Always there.
At breakfast time, Christine asked, and I'd like her to pick it up a bit, why is it so difficult to teach anatta? Would you like to just elaborate a little bit more on the question?
Last night on the bus, Shakti and I were having a discussion, and Actually, it reminds me a bit of Ananda when he said, "It is so clear." But anyway, I'm suddenly having second thoughts. But we were saying, why didn't the Buddha just say, "This is the way it is. There is this stream of consciousness, these accumulations and karma, and that's what re-becomes. There's no self-duplicated discussions." Why didn't he just say, "This is what it is, a stream of consciousness that isn't born, nothing's born, nothing dies, and it's an accumulation of karma"?
I thought that that's the teachings, his teachings.
He said that?
Yeah. Like Kanda, see? No body at all.
Kanda means no self.
Yeah.
Atta is self, and anatta is no self, non-self.
Okay. So it's really just people choosing the little bits they want to quote, perhaps, to back up. A lot of people use the fact that he never... that it can be... there can be quotes to say, "Well, look, he didn't actually say there was no self. He said that's the bit.
What about seeing consciousness? Yeah. He didn't say that it's the self who sees.
No, he didn't.
Yeah?
That's right.
Every word in Tipitaka indicates all about no self. So it depends on the readers. If that person has the idea of self, then he reads with self, and he might think that Buddha didn't say anything about non-self, because it seems like self all the time.
It's the filter that you're choosing to read the words through.
It depends on one's understanding while one is reading. Because when one says seeing consciousness, it indicates that there is no body, no self. Vitakka is no self. Lopa is no self. See? All are not self. So does anyone need to hear or to read that this is not self? This is not self. This is not self.
Thank you.
But I think another way the question could be put is, or the observation we made, that, I mean, when he taught, he wasn't teaching to us in this day and age with our level of understanding. You know, he was teaching to those of that time and with that level of understanding too. So obviously.
Did he say that seeing is self? The same question, see?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's a couple of years back, everything to do with Dharma and Abhidharma was of interest. You know, I would read whatever I could, I'd travel wherever I could, I'd find people to discuss it with. It was just consumingly interesting. But now there doesn't feel the interest, and it feels exasperating and annoying and aggravating. And I just haven't, after 4 or 5 years, one would think I'd understand something. And I get annoyed with all the details. So I think
we can say, what is our goal in studying Dhamma? Listening or reading? What is the real goal?
More understanding.
And less attachment. From day to day, that's enough. Because if we think about Nibbana or degrees of Vipassanayana, it's beyond, because it has to be the beginning. And one knows whether while one is reading and keeping on daily life, is there any less attachment to wanting to have more understanding? Because you see that for the Noble Truths, the second one is lobha. The cause is lobha. And if there is still the cause, it conditions more and more attachment instead of less and less attachment. So how can there be the panya which can attain that reality which lopa cannot has it as object at all? So instead of thinking about going up the sky, we are here on the ground, and when develop panya so that we can go through.
It's just the way it is. and just persevere.
Okay. No more than that. This is the only way to have less attachment. If we forget, then it's time for attachment again, all the time, on the way, until the moment when lopa cannot arise by experiencing nibbana. So the panya which experiences nibbana can eliminate lopa with wrong view. This is the first stage of enlightenment. Just lopa with wrong view. One might think that one doesn't have wrong view at all. One might not have wrong view about other things, but what about the wrong view of self? And when we talk about it, it's like we are talking about seeing consciousness, because there is no awareness of it yet, as it hasn't arisen yet. While seeing now arises and falls away, and there is no understanding of seeing as not self, so how can there be the understanding of more realities from this this moment? Because even the moment at the reality at this moment is not yet understood by panya. So we keep on going with confidence, encouraged, cheerful.
Maybe when she or someone feels, anyone feels dissatisfied or uninterested or frustrated by it, maybe it seems that it's not lobha that is so apparent, but it's more dosa. But then, so you know, she's more aware of just having a lot of aversion to what is heard or what she's read. But then, as we know, aversion is conditioned by lobha. But I'm just saying, at these times, the lobha is not so apparent.
No need to try to see lopa, which is not there. But when there is attachment after experiencing or being aware of any object, one knows the moment when lopa creeps in. If there is no panya, then it creeps all the time. The teacher is always does not let go the student.
Because even I think behind the frustration or the difficulty, actually it's attachment to understanding behind, because one would like to understand very much, but you know, it seems maybe there's no great change in a day or in one's life, or one keeps missing some aspect or point, so there's aversion, but really it's the attachment at the root trying to...
That's why how difficult it is to have no lopa even for panya. Just developing understanding of any reality which starts appearing.
I think also as you summarized Ajahn's comments by saying just persevere, I think actually what she's saying is understand it for what it is. When the dosa arises, or the impatience, or whatever.
See it as it is, understand it for what it is.
For what it is. Because I just say that perseverance has a sense of hanging in there despite the unpleasantness of the situation, for example. But it doesn't really have to be that way if one... The more one comes to understand that these reactions or emotions are simply conditioned realities that occur from time to time and will continue to occur from time to time also.
It takes the power out of them.
It takes the power out of them.
And,
and
allows you to move on, to continue to stay.
But Azita's sign of patience, courage and good cheer is that kind of patience. You know, it's the wholesome patience that is needed and the courage.
And if we don't forget that everything arises and falls away so fast, we don't mind at all when there is no awareness before, but now, right this moment, there can be just even a glimpse of understanding. It's not much because it just begins, but one knows that one shouldn't regret about the past or think much about the future. because whenever there is awareness, it is aware. Just the object is for awareness to be aware of. Only that, because it's gone. See, this is the way to have no attachment to even the object which awareness is aware of. Because usually there is attachment all the time. Even one moment of awareness has gone, then there is attachment again, a long period of no awareness, and then there can be awareness later. Just to remind that everything is only the sign of whatever is arising and falling away. That's all. In order to begin to know that it's just visible object, by remembering that it's only the sign. One lives in the world of thinking all the time after the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. We live in our own world of thinking.
And this is what you meant when recently you've compared this to a dream.
Right.
The present moment is right. Also dreamlike in that respect too.
Yeah. Buddha always told that life was like a dream. Each moment is like a dream. Why not? Because it's gone completely. So it's only memory of realities as people and things, not as a reality, until it's so firm founded that no matter awareness is aware of anything, one realizes that it's just a reality.
So it's like sometimes I think in a day, nowhere to go, nothing to do, but I'm doing anyway, you know, I'm just doing, going ahead and doing my arises out of the fact that just about everybody I know does do formal meditation. Now, some of them understand that that it can be done with wrong view. A lot of them say it's necessary to, that they're just doing it more or less as a base to get a degree of calmness. So they can then practice. So, sounds good to me.
What sounds better? Right understanding of a reality right now, or not understanding it and try to have the base for it?
I know what sounds better, but...
is it not lower? Attachment. See?
She knows the right answer. Okay. Carry on with the thought.
Yeah, it sounds good. It sounds nice.
And the majority of people are doing it.
Most people.
Majority ignorance or majority's right understanding.
But she would say that this majority include, you know, some very highly regarded scholars
and bhikkhus
and Abhidhamma teachers and those who are, you know, very familiar with all the Pali texts, including the commentaries and the Abhidhamma, and this is their conclusion. So who are we to say that they are all wrong?
Yes.
Even the high monks in the time of Buddha wasn't assigned by him to be the teacher. Only the teachings.
That's right.
Is the teacher after his passing away.
Right.
He didn't say this will be the teacher after me at all. And those are high monks, not just ordinary. Anyway, I think that it depends on, we do not mind at all who speaks or who does it, but there can be the right considering whether that is right or wrong practice or development. For example, for those they do not think that this moment Panya can experience and have right understanding. So they develop something which is not Panya at all. And when one use any term like Samatha or Vipassana, there should be more understanding of it. For example, when we talk about calmness or Kusala Citta, we have to